Hey, so if you have been trying to get pregnant and you're nursing or breastfeeding and in the postpartum phase and it hasn't been happening and you're like, man, why? Then you're going to love today's episode. And I also have a really strong biblical encouragement for you, especially if you're breastfeeding and nursing. And I know personally how hard that can be, and especially with the desire to get pregnant as well. So I've also got a word from the Lord for you today to encourage you and also give you some biological insights as to why pregnancy may not be occurring while breastfeeding. Let's go. Hey, sister, welcome to For the Love of Hormones podcast. Do you have a desire to get pregnant in God's design and be free from the pressure of going straight to IUI or IVF? Hey, I'm Becca. While I was blessed with two children, I then suffered from three miscarriages. I too felt emotionally wrecked anytime I was around a pregnant friend. I wanted to understand God's design for my body and how to care for it naturally, but I just kept telling myself that it was too complicated and I needed to be content with my circumstances. Until I found the answer, hormone health and tracking. In this podcast, you will find answers to all of your period, ovulation, and cycle questions so that you will be able to find the path for getting pregnant in God's design. So sister, for the love of hormones, put that pregnancy test stick down and grab your Bible, matcha green tea, and a journal because it's time for a Come to Jesus and Hormones meeting.
Working with Becca was so helpful when my husband and I were trying to conceive our second child. Even though I had worked with Becca as far as tracking my cycle, and we were doing that, we were still having trouble getting pregnant. And so Becca was so helpful just looking over my charts and identifying some hormonal imbalances that were potentially affecting my fertility. And so she recommended some lifestyle changes as the initial approach. And once we implemented those, it really wasn't long after that we got pregnant. And we just really appreciated that she started with those lifestyle changes and just kind of put that control in our hands before, you know, us having to go see any doctors or take any kind of medication or anything like that. And she was just really good about letting us know the process and next steps and just checking in regularly and making sure we understood what needed to happen. And so I would just really recommend, Becca, if you are trying to get pregnant, if you're struggling to conceive, it's just really great to have someone walking alongside you to guide you through and put you in control of those decisions and help you understand what's going on with your own body. And it was just wonderful working with her.
Ashlyn, thank you so much. You are wonderful. And I was just thinking like, man, we got to have you on the podcast to hear more about your story and all that. So we'll have to do that soon. And for those of you who are new here and you are not in our Facebook group, we have an awesome Facebook community that I would love to invite you to come join. So if you just scroll down in the show notes and you can join that community to know that like, hey, you are not alone. There are tons of other sisters in Christ who are also going through some fertility struggles and who are wanting to get pregnant, having a hard time, or maybe they've also recently had a miscarriage. And so, girlfriend, like, what a blessing to be in a little circle that is growing every day to know that you are not alone and the Lord is with you, and a lot of other women and sisters in Christ are with you too. So come join us in that Facebook community to get encouragement. And I have some special deals going on. We do a fertility sis of the month. And if you join in there, you may win. Basically, those who comment a bunch and are really engaged, there will be a winner at the end of the month who is getting a cycle phase planning segment from the Fertility Framework course. So if you are wanting some help with your cycle phases and understanding what they are and tactical, tangible things you can do in each of those phases to support your hormones, the fertility sis of the winner will get that. So come join our Facebook group and get commenting, introduce yourself and get engaged, and I would love to announce you as the winner. All right, so let's go into today's episode. So I usually like to start off these episodes with a biblical word of encouragement. And honestly, I'm like really excited about this one in particular. So we are going to be looking at Isaiah 66. And I'm just going to preface this with y'all. You know, I am a wannabe theologian, like maybe a long time from now, maybe we'll pursue that. But I am not a theologian, not been to seminary. I do love the Lord's word and studying it and just being in awe of our God and King. And I especially love how he has called me to this unique place to speak about his word to you directly with what you're dealing with your fertility and your hormones. And so it's really, really fun for me. And with that said, I do not claim to be a complete expert on this. And we're just going to go from there. Okay. So we're going to look at Isaiah 66. And I really encourage you to research this and study this tomorrow in your quiet time with the Lord or tonight, whether you do it in the morning or at night. And if you're not doing it, you should be doing it. Okay. So do it. All right. And we're going to kind of look at verse 11. We're going to start with verse 11. And this is a very interesting view of the Lord because it's kind of how God relates to Israel and how God relates to his people in a little bit of a maternal aspect. And it's kind of fascinating to me because I typically think of God as, you know, obviously God the Father, like that is who God is, right? But because of that, I think of all of God's masculine traits. I think of him as strong and protective and fierce. And like, I think of him as this like tall, massive, like muscly kind of thing. But the truth is, like, we don't know what the Lord looks like. And we can have all these pictures and images in our head. And that is certainly one of them. But the Lord also is comforting and nourishing and sustaining and replenishing to us, to his people, which actually has a lot of motherly and maternal aspects that we'll look at. And this is what we observe in the word of the Lord, okay? So it is talking about in Isaiah, it goes back and forth between Israel's judgment and doom because of their foolishness and turning away from the Lord, and then God's forgiving them and sustaining them and comforting them. Like, it's this back and forth ploy here. And when we look at verse 11, it says, "For you will nurse and be satisfied at her comforting breasts. You will drink deeply and delight in her overflowing abundance. For this is what the Lord says, I will extend peace to her like a river and the wealth of nations like a flooding stream. You will nurse and be carried on her arm and dandled on her knees as a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you, and you will be comforted over Jerusalem." So this passage, I was actually reading this with my husband this week. I was like, dude, look at this. This is crazy. Like, have you ever pictured God in this way? Or have you ever thought about like these kind of motherly aspects of the Lord? And both of us were like, no, no, we never have. And if you read the whole chapter, it's very interesting because, I mean, we're talking about like labor and delivery and birth and womb and all of this, like, wow, this language is crazy, right? But this is how the Lord is relating to Israel, his child. And it's really, truly fascinating. So I definitely encourage you to check it out. And I did do a little bit of research on some commentaries. So sometimes, if you've never done this before, sometimes if you come up with a passage or a book of the Bible or a chapter or verse that you're just like, this is just beyond me, and you pray and you ask the Lord for wisdom and discernment, and like you're still just not quite getting it, sometimes looking at biblical commentaries by theologians or seminarians or people who really, really know the word can be really helpful. And on this passage, I thought it was kind of hilarious looking at the commentaries because some of them were like super short and like not addressing what was actually said. But the Gill's exposition of the entire Bible, his commentary was very detailed and very elaborate and quite fascinating to look at. So for your further study, I encourage you guys to go check that out. You can look at it on Bible Hub and go to commentaries and read Gill's exposition of the entire Bible. Read all of them. They're pretty interesting, but his is definitely the most detailed. And I just want to go through a few points here, because if you are pregnant and you're breastfeeding and you're dealing with a trial in that, like, man, there can be so many trials in, did I just say you're pregnant and you're breastfeeding? My gravy. Okay. So if you are breastfeeding in postpartum and you're wanting to get pregnant, this is like a whole season of life. And you may be going back and forth with like, oh man, like I really want to breastfeed, but I also want to get pregnant and it's not happening. And what do I do? And so you may be kind of wrestling with your identity as a nursing mother and wanting to continue that, but also wanting to be a mother who has another child. And so I totally get this conflict and it's hard. So from the word of the Lord in Isaiah 66, what is happening contextually here? God is delivering Israel from her trials and he's providing nourishment for her afterwards. Like if you kind of read through that chapter and try to write a summary of like, okay, what is happening here? That's essentially what I observe is happening, that God is delivering Israel from her trials and providing nourishment for her afterwards. And so what I feel like this tells us about God is that God can deliver us from our trials. Like I almost put God will deliver us from our trials. Not always, right? God will not always deliver us from our trials. And we see that biblically and scripturally in a lot of people. Like there are a lot of times when the Lord does deliver his people, but there are times when he doesn't. You know, Stephen, Paul, like all the martyrs, you know, they were not necessarily delivered from their trials. Depends on how you look at it, right? But I mean, they literally gave up their lives for the sake of the gospel. But we do also see in times that God can and he does deliver us from trials. And in this passage in particularly, we see that he has delivered Israel from their trials. And afterwards, he seeks to comfort and nourish and replenish and sustain us as a mother comforts her child. Again, in verse 12, I will extend peace to her like a river. He wants to extend peace to us like a river and the wealth of nations like a flooding stream. You will nurse and be carried on her arm and dandled on her knees. Like, can you just visualize that? Like the comfort a child receives when the child is nursed and carried in its mother's arms and dandled on her knees. And then it says in verse 13, as a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you, and you will be comforted over Jerusalem. So the Lord is seeking to comfort us and nourish us and replenish us and sustain us as a mother comforts her child. And so my big point here that I just want to encourage you, if you have been breastfeeding your child, like I'm so excited I get to talk about this today because I know I don't talk about lactation too much. But what this tells us about you, what does this passage tell us about you? That man, what a glorious reflection of God that you are. You as a woman and man, both of us are made in the image and glory of God. And you as a woman, what a glorious reflection of God you are in the way that you have comforted your child, the way that you have nourished your child, the way that you have replenished your child, and the way that you have literally sustained your child, probably for about around the first 6 months, give or take. Like if you breastfed that long, you were the sole sustenance for your child. And that, my friend, my sister, is a beautiful, glorious image of how God desires to comfort you, of how God desires to nourish you and how he does, how God desires to replenish you and to sustain you when he is the only thing that you can have to keep moving forward in your life. And so I just want to encourage you. I hope you feel like floored by that. And if you're listening to this and you've never breastfed before and you just like want to be pregnant, I hope you look forward to getting to breastfeed one day and getting to experience that crazy, awesome maternal aspect that God has given us as a reflection of who he is, which I know is like kind of weird to think about, but we are made in the image of God. And this is really, really cool. And we see it biblically as well. So I hope you're really, I just want to encourage you in that today. So let's kind of go into the biological things that could be happening for why you're not getting pregnant while breastfeeding or in the postpartum phase. Okay, so reason number one could be high prolactin. So when you are breastfeeding, your body produces elevated levels of prolactin, which is like quote unquote, the breastfeeding hormone. You still produce levels of prolactin even when you're not breastfeeding. But those levels are really, really elevated when you are nursing and you're breastfeeding to help with your milk production. And basically what prolactin does is it suppresses the hormone FSH. FSH stands for follicle stimulating hormone. And the follicle stimulating hormone is kind of like the first domino in the train of dominoes for your ovulatory hormonal cycle. And if FSH doesn't fire and it doesn't elevate to what it should be for your body to start ovulatory activity, then your body's not going to ovulate and you will not be able to conceive and not be able to get pregnant. And honestly, how this works, it's very interesting. As a femme educator, we can take extra training in postpartum and breastfeeding, and I've done that, and it's just, it's fascinating. Hormones are like so cool. But when your prolactin is really high, it's just going to kind of shut down your ovulatory functions. It's going to shut down. It's going to keep FSH quiet. And the Lord's design in that is to give your body a break, okay? It's to give your body a break in between pregnancies and to space them out. Caveat number one, this does not apply to everybody. So I have known people who have still gotten pregnant really, really early in their breastfeeding journeys. Like I'm talking a month after they've given birth, they ovulate and they get pregnant. Like that's not as unheard of as you can think, because there can be a lot of things that interplay with this. But typically, if you're listening to this, you're probably like, Becca, I have been breastfeeding for 12 months or 18 months or whatever, you know, something like that. And I'm still not getting my period back. I'm still not ovulating, or I'm still not getting pregnant. Maybe you have gotten your periods back and you haven't gotten pregnant and you've wanted to. So prolactin, that's the first thing, is that can have an influence on your ovulatory functions. The second thing that can have an impact on getting pregnant when you're breastfeeding is low progesterone. So low progesterone or a luteal phase defect can be more common in women who are breastfeeding. And so whenever I look at progesterone and all of that, I always kind of look backwards, right? So I'm like, okay, if your progesterone is low, how was your ovulatory phase? And if your ovulatory phase was wonky, why? And maybe we can even step back further. If your ovulatory phase was wonky, was it because of your FSH? If your FSH was wonky, was it because of your high prolactin? So I know that's like a spider web of, whoa, what? I know. Okay. It's hard even for me to verbalize and process these things, but that is something that is, it can be more common in breastfeeding women. So my number one encouragement for you, if you are not doing this yet, is to chart your cycle so that you can observe, because when you learn how to chart your cycle, you will actually be able to observe, do I have a luteal phase defect? Do I have the signs of low progesterone? And you cannot know that unless you chart through a verified fertility awareness method. Holla, you can learn that method in my course, Fertility Framework. So you should definitely look at that, okay? But that's something that can really impact getting pregnant. I think I just recently did a episode on progesterone and its impacts on getting pregnant and how to naturally increase it. So you guys listen back a few episodes if you haven't listened to that one yet, and learn about how can you naturally increase your progesterone. And inside of my course, we go through all of that in great, great detail. But that's something that we want to look at. It can be something that is seen more commonly in breastfeeding women. But like, I am here to tell you, because a lot of doctors will not tell you this, of you can still get pregnant. Like you can still do things while you're breastfeeding to support your body. And there can be cases, there have been cases where, I mean, I haven't worked with women who have been told by their doctors to stop breastfeeding, and then they stop breastfeeding, and then they get pregnant. I've heard stories about that. But honestly, I feel like if that breastfeeding relationship is really important to you and you want to continue to nurse your child and get pregnant and keep going, you know, I think that's awesome. And I affirm that and I applaud that. And I think that it is really possible. And there's a lot of boxes that you can check that maybe have not been looked at or checked and all that. So, okay. So that's number two, is low progesterone or a luteal phase defect. Number three, the third reason, could be high cortisol or stress. So there's a lot of players going on here. So we talked about prolactin a few minutes ago, and now we're talking about cortisol. If you've been listening to this podcast for a while, you know I've talked about that a lot. And if you're new here, hi, welcome. But cortisol is kind of like your fight, flight or freeze hormone. So whenever you have a cortisol spike, a cortisol raise, or a cortisol increase, when you are in a situation that stresses you out and your body goes, whoa, am I going to fight against this? Am I going to run away from this? Or am I just going to like freeze and panic because I don't know what to do? That's kind of what happens. And it could be, you know, you're walking down the street and you run into a bear and like, yeah, you have a cortisol spike. So that could happen. But more likely what's happening, especially if you are breastfeeding, like I know you have a kid, at least one kid, and sometimes that can be a little stressful. And so, I mean, I know for me personally, when I was postpartum with my second child and breastfeeding him and all of that, I had crazy high anxiety, and it was actually connected to a traumatic birth experience from his birth. There was a lot of rough stuff that happened. So basically what happened is anytime he cried, I would get anxious. And anytime he cried, I would literally, like if someone tested my blood, they would probably see that I had a cortisol spike because it just stressed the heck out of me. And I never connected that until I was going through my hormone coaching certification and program and training. And they had a counselor on and she was connecting traumatic events to current anxiety and all of that. And I was like, oh my gosh, that is why I can't stand it when my second child cries or freaks out. It literally produces like an anxious cortisol spike in me. And it's really hard for me. And so, but that was awesome for me to recognize that that's what was happening. So my point is, if you are having a lot of cortisol, that's actually impacting with your prolactin hormone. Do you want to hear a crazy story? Okay, well, cool, you're listening. So I know someone, and if you're listening to this, you know who you are. But it was quite fascinating. So she gave birth, and she got her period back really soon. And it was quite interesting because she ended up moving about 6 weeks postpartum. And it wasn't too long after that that she... Her period came back and she was like, what the heck is going on? Like, I just had a baby. Why am I getting my period back? And I'm like, oh, well, you know, that was probably pretty stressful because you just moved. And so what happens is when you are stressed, cortisol actually robs prolactin. So cortisol trumps prolactin. So what happened when she was moving, and there was probably a lot of physical, probably emotional stress. I mean, moving is crazy, especially with a baby and being postpartum. So she probably had some stress with that. And so that actually shut down prolactin. And when that prolactin was really, really lowered and reduced and suppressed, FSH was allowed to come back. And then her body ovulated. And that totally makes sense. It totally checks out, right? But we also have to look at what are the impacts of when you're having high cortisol and a great amount of stress on getting pregnant. Because like, okay, so Becca, you're telling me I can just go get really stressed out. That's going to lower my prolactin and then I'll get pregnant. No, that's not what I'm telling you. Okay. I am telling you that, yeah, if you get super stressed out, that can inhibit your prolactin and you may have some ovulatory functions come back, but it's probably not going to be really healthy, ovulatory hormones if cortisol is in play, because what cortisol does is it tells your body to shut down your, quote unquote, your secondary functions, like your digestive system and your sex hormones. Like, it tells your body to shut those things down. And so I hope you're following me, guys. I know this is like very complexy. Okay. I just made up that word. So anyways, if your prolactin has shut down and then, you're having all this high cortisol, your hormones still might not fire in a healthy way for you to get pregnant. I hope that made sense because that was very complicated. So anyways, I hope you know more now than you did at the beginning of this episode of like, why am I not getting pregnant while I'm breastfeeding and postpartum? And I just want you to know, like, there is so much hope for you in terms of learning how to chart your cycle and in learning what are like the natural lifestyle things that you can do to help your body produce healthy, optimal levels of hormones. It is so important for you to learn this. And so if you feel like you're like, oh man, show me the way, I will show you the way. Okay. So I want you to go over to my website, beccayon.com, and check out my course, Fertility Framework. I designed it literally for you. If you are breastfeeding and postpartum, I would recommend for you to do it VIP so I can help you, because the breastfeeding cycles can be very confusing and very hard. Or if you just want my eyes on your charts and your cycles, you can do it VIP. If you feel like you have a really high awareness of your body, you can do the course yourself, do it DIY and get it for cheaper. There's a monthly payment plan. And honestly, guys, just go check it out. And if you're feeling like, man, there's just no way. I don't know if this will work for me. I'm not sure. You are always welcome to book a 10-minute consult and check it out. But if you've thought about that and you've prayed about it and you're still feeling the nudge of maybe I should do this, but I'm kind of nervous to do it and I'm not sure if it'll be a good investment, I just want you to know, like, everyone who has thought that before they bought the course or before they've worked with me, like, had those same thoughts that you've had. And so it just, sometimes it just takes an act of faith to step out and to do it and to challenge yourself to be like, okay, I am going to work through this fear. I am going to do this with Becca and I'm going to figure out what's going on with my cycles and I'm going to learn what I can do to support my hormones and just take that step of faith. Like, you can get started today. Okay. I would love to just welcome you in and encourage you and walk alongside you in this journey. So that is what I have for you today. I hope you are so encouraged and a little bit confused and also more educated after today's episode. I would love for you to come into our Facebook group, like I mentioned at the beginning of the episode, and tell us, what do you think about Isaiah 66? What do you think about these really cool aspects of God that we can learn from a woman who is, you know, pregnant or giving birth or breastfeeding? Like, it's really cool how we're made in the image of God. So come in, I'll put a little post in there, our Facebook group, and tell us, like, wow, what did you learn about God? And how are you encouraged by this word and who he has made and designed you to be? So that is super cool. Let me pray over you. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for allowing me to record today and allowing me to speak on your word on a really difficult, different kind of passage, but it is still your word and it is living and active. And I know that I, for one, am encouraged of thinking of whenever I breastfeed or nurse my child, that this is how you sustain us and this is how you comfort us. And the love that I have for my child is just a tiny, tiny reflection of the immense love that you have for us, Lord. And so I just praise you and I thank you for delivering us through trials and comforting us and sustaining us and nourishing us. And I pray that the woman listening would feel so encouraged by how you have designed her, Lord, and how she is a reflection of who you are. And I just pray she's super encouraged today. And I also pray that she takes this knowledge from this episode and applies it and seeks it out, Lord, and gets trained in a method and starts learning how to chart, and that she begins to understand, like, okay, is it my prolactin or is it my cortisol or is it my progesterone? And that she can observe that through her charting, Lord. And that she can learn what are the things that she can do to support her hormones most optimally. So if you're tugging on her heart, Lord, I just pray that she would come on into Fertility Framework. You would give her the boldness and obedience to jump in it, that her husband would be supportive and honestly do a lot of it with her so that they can do this journey together, Lord. I just pray for your ultimate blessing on her, healing on her, and continued joy in breastfeeding and encouragement, Lord, and discernment in every step she takes. I pray all these things in your holy name. Amen. Okay, girl, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. If so, would you please take 30 seconds and leave a quick review on Apple Podcasts? Literally just pause this, scroll on down, click write a review, and I promise it'll take 2 seconds, well, maybe like 25 seconds, and it would bless me so much to see what you thought about this episode and to hear your feedback. And also, if you could share this in a quick text message to the friend or family member that you were thinking of while listening to this episode, that would be awesome. It just lights me up to know that this podcast is helping you and other people. And girl, I pray that your progesterone is awesome. I'll meet you back next Thursday for another episode. Have a blessed day.